Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Roommate Problem by Mariah Ankenman. Narrated by Charlotte North. Chapter 1.
You're not a guy.
Moira Rossi stared at the very tall, very confused-looking man in her doorway. He was huge, and she wasn't just saying that because she barely grazed 5'1¼". The quarter inch was very important. She grinned, tilting her head back to stare into a pair of puzzled but beautiful hazel eyes. It wasn't fair for a man to have eyes that dreamy. It made a woman forget what he was saying. Oh, right. He'd accused her of not being a dude.
And you're not my deep dish pizza, but I'll forgive you if you brought food.
He frowned. Confusion turning his lips down into a grumpy scowl she found absolutely adorable on a man so large and seemingly intimidating. Not many people intimidated Mo. She was raised with four brothers who loved to wrestle and cared not one iota that their little sister was half their size. Despite her appearance, she could handle herself.
I'm sorry.
He leaned back, glancing up and down the complex's hallway.
I must have the wrong apartment.
Poor guy. This building had identical floors right down to every doorknob. She'd gotten mixed up a time or two herself living here the past decade. This wasn't the first time someone had come knocking only to have the wrong place. Pity. Tall, perplexed, and handsome would have made a great addition to her wind-down night. She had been planning on chowing down on some greasy pizza and binging the latest season of Lucifer on Netflix. But she'd be happy to change her plans to Netflix and chill if the gentleman at her door was so inclined. Sadly, it appeared she'd have to settle for fantasies of Tom Ellis tonight. Mr. Wrong Door did not appear to be in a company-type mood.
What apartment number are you looking for? Maybe I can help?
He blew out a breath, running a large hand over the short, copper-colored hair on the top of his head. A smattering of dark freckles covered his face. Like a bunch of connect-the-dots, she had the strangest urge to trace with her tongue. She'd always had a thing for redheads. And oh boy, did she need to get laid if some rando at her front door was getting her all hot and bothered. It had been a while since her last hookup. 6 months, at least. Geez, no wonder she was so hard up.
I'm looking for apartment 118.
He had the right place, but...
Mo Rossi.
Right name, too. She would think, lucky her, but based on the uncertainty marring his handsome features, she didn't think he was a strippergram sent by her friends. Pity.
I'm Mo.
She stuck out her hand.
Moira Rossi. But everyone just calls me Mo.
He stared at her offered hand, but made no attempt to shake it. She watched with fascination as his expression went from confusion to shock to realization and finally to frustration.
You're Mo. Of course you are.
His jaw clenched and he muttered softly,
Grandma is in so much trouble. I can't believe she pulled this on me.
Grandma? Oh, Mo had her own crystallizing moment as everything began to click into place. The strange man at her front door, the mention of a grandma, it all made sense now. This must be August Porter, grandson of Agatha Porter, the flower supplier her wedding planning company worked with, and, sadly for all hot and dirty daydreams, her new roommate. Mo might be willing to do a lot of things, but hopping in bed with someone she lived with was a no-no. Unless they were in a relationship, which she and August weren't. So, she'd just tuck all that delicious sex appeal the man was sporting into her spank bank and move on. She'd never want to make a mess of her living situation, and she would hate doing anything that might upset Agatha. Mo dealt mostly with the vendors at Mile High Happiness, the wedding planning company she ran with her friends. So she had a great rapport with lots of different people, but she had a special connection to Agatha. The kind old lady reminded her of her Nona, sweet and caring, but not above giving you a stern talking to when necessary. Fitting, considering the two women had been the best of friends until Nona's passing a few years ago. Agatha had kind of adopted Mo as her pseudo-granddaughter since Nona's death. She taught Mo how to crochet and press flowers for keepsakes. Agatha had even gifted Mo her own personal collection of romance novels when the print became too small for her eyes to read. Extremely grateful for a box full of happily ever afters, Mo had bought Agatha an e-reader and loaded it up with books, adjusting the letter size so her old eyes could see without straining. Yup, Mo loved Agatha and would do just about anything for her. The sweet old woman had been having some health issues lately. The shop had just become too much for her to take care of in her advancing age. But Agatha didn't want to sell, and Mo could respect that. But the woman needed some kind of help. Then, out of the blue, a month ago, Mrs. Porter said she called her grandson to see if he would come out to Denver to help with her flower shop. Lucky for everyone, he agreed. The only problem had been the poor guy didn't have a place to stay. Property went fast in the city, and rent was a nightmare. Agatha lamented she couldn't let her grandson stay with her, but her building was a 55 and over complex. The man standing before Mo didn't look a day over 30. Lucky for Agatha and August, Mo was in desperate need of a roommate. Lily moved out a few weeks ago with 6 months still on the lease, but with Mo's blessing. She figured finding a new roomie would be easy. But after interviewing 3 people who had cats, they were a no-pet building, 7 different college kids who wanted to throw keggers every weekend, 4 creepos who asked if benefits came with the room, and 1 woman who claimed she was a vampire and needed absolute darkness in the apartment at all times, Mo was ready to sell an organ to cover the rent herself. Thankfully for her organs, she didn't need to. Agatha claimed August was quiet, polite, neat, and easy to live with. Apparently, the guy used to spend some time in the summers with her when he was a kid. It could just be the grandmother and Agatha talking up how great August was, but Mo was past beggars being choosers at this point. She needed a roomie to help with the rent, and it was either August or Elvira. So she told Agatha to offer him the last 6 months of Lily's lease. If things worked out, hopefully he would sign up for another year with her. It was a perfect solution. She'd get help on the rent, and he'd have a roof over his head. Win-win. Only, judging by the scowl currently marring his handsome face, August Porter did not see anything about this situation as a win. Was it because she was a woman? Seemed odd. If anyone in this position should be wary of 2 strangers of the opposite sex living together, it should be her. And she wasn't. She trusted Agatha. And if the kind, elderly florist said her grandson was a stand-up guy, that was good enough for Mo. Plus, she had a lock on her bedroom door and knew 7 different ways to make a man cry like a baby with nothing but her knee and elbow. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say you're August Porter. He shifted, hefting the strap holding up his large duffel bag higher onto his shoulder.
Yeah, I'm August.
But I thought you weren't coming until Sunday. He stared at her like she was the one having the most confusing night ever.
It is Sunday.
It was? Dang. They'd had a small wedding this morning, and she was still a bit out of sorts. Normally, weddings were a Saturday affair, but some couples preferred to pick the later day of the weekend because prices tended to be a bit more affordable. It always messed with her internal clock just a bit. Right. Of course it's Sunday. August rocked back on his heels, gaze shifting left and right once again, as if he couldn't believe the situation he found himself in. Poor man looked all out of sorts, and she had no idea why, but it tickled her. Giving him her most welcoming smile, she stepped back and motioned to the inside of the apartment. Welcome home, Rumi. I've got pizza on the way, but fair warning, it's pineapple. Chapter 2. Pineapple pizza? August didn't know what was worse. His grandmother conveniently leaving out the fact that his new roommate was a woman, or the woman in question having terrible taste in pizza. If you were going to eat junk food, at least go whole hog. Pepperoni, sausage, extra cheese, all the artery-clogging toppings. Not fruit. His stomach turned over, unease eating a hole in his gut. His duffel felt like a 1,000-pound weight on his arm. Or maybe it was just the thought of dumping said bag inside, where he'd be living with this woman for the next 6 months, that was weighing on him. How could Gran do this to him? It wasn't that he was opposed to living with a woman, but fair warning would have been nice. And what kind of name was Mo for a woman anyway? He was expecting to be greeted at the door by a guy in his 60s with a beer gut and pants up to his nipples. Not a tiny, curvy blonde with streaks of, was that neon pink in her hair? Different strokes, he supposed, but oh boy. He tugged his bag tighter to his side and stepped over the threshold to find his own personal hell. The apartment was nice, adequate space, but also a cluttered mess of books, clothing, and old takeout boxes. The air held a distinct, pungent aroma that wasn't bad, necessarily, but also wasn't pleasant. His nose wrinkled as the smell of sugary cake and laundry detergent assailed his nostrils. Two very different odors that did not mix well together. Having worked for years on various produce and flower farms, he knew his scents, and this one stunk. Mo winced. Oh, sorry. I kind of mixed up my days and thought you were coming tomorrow. She gestured around the living room. I swear I was going to have all this cleaned up. I've just been swamped with work lately. Lately? This place looked like it hadn't been cleaned in a solid 3 weeks. His gut pitched, apprehension eating him at the sight before him. He knew he could be a bit obsessive with his cleaning, but how do people live like this? Just staring at all this mess was making his whole body twitch and his anxiety skyrocket. This isn't going to work, he muttered, but she must have heard him because she graced him with another one of those wide smiles. One that made his heart pump faster and suspicion fill his brain. He didn't trust people who were happy all the damn time. Life was hard, and anyone who didn't see that was either on something or extremely sheltered. Her eyes were a clear golden brown, so he didn't think she was high on anything but her sunny outlook on life. Joy. Yippee for him. Oh, come on. You don't know that. She laughed, the sound making his heart pound even faster. But damn if he knew why. Discomfort. He was going to blame it on this mess of an apartment and this mess of a situation. We've only just met, Mo continued. We haven't even gotten to know each other, so you can't say it won't work. Unless you're psychic. He wasn't. He didn't believe in any of that New Age shit. But judging by the flowy tie-dye skirt, the peace sign printed on her tightly fitted yellow tank top, the crystal pendant hanging around her neck, and the massive amount of bracelets she wore around each wrist that clanked like weird little musical chimes with every hand gesture she made, August would venture a pretty good guess she believed in that kind of stuff. She grasped his hand in hers, tugging him out of the living room that looked like a trash tornado hit it, and pulling him down a narrow hallway. Come on, I'll show you to your room. He followed, because what the hell else was he supposed to do? It wasn't like he had any friends in the city. He'd left his job working for a flower farm out past Telluride to come to Denver and help his grandmother with her shop. Gran lived in a tiny one-bedroom apartment that was basically one step above a retirement home. He couldn't stay with her. A hotel was always an option, except he'd already signed a 6-month sublease and sent Mo a deposit and first month's rent, on Gran's insistence that she had found the perfect roommate for him. Thanks a lot, Gran. If he left now, he'd be out that money and probably on the hook for the rest. Considering his chosen career didn't lend itself to piles of cash, that was something August couldn't afford. Here it is, Mo announced with a flourish, dropping his hand and doing a little twirl in the empty bedroom. He clenched his hand into a fist, trying to get rid of the weird little zing sensation left over from the woman's touch. What the hell was that about? A quick glance around revealed a tiny bit of positivity for the night. At least this room was clean. Spotless, in fact. He breathed a small sigh of relief. Mo stepped back as he entered the room. My friend Lily used to live here. She has a bit of an anal streak, so she cleaned it from top to bottom before she left, and I haven't been in here since, under threat of black hair dye in my shampoo. He glanced back at her as she clutched her bright blonde locks, highlighted with the most ridiculous hair color he'd ever seen.
Black hair dye?
An odd threat, but everything about tonight had been odd. Why not strange cosmetology intimidation? She knew I had a new roommate moving in, and she didn't want me scaring you off with a dirty bedroom. Would have been nice if her former roommate had extended the threat to the communal living areas, but he was at least grateful for the sanitized bedroom. He continued to take in his surroundings. Seemed doable, for a short time period anyway. If nothing else, he could spend all his time in his room. Better than going out there to brave the land that a dumpster threw up in. August dropped his bag to the floor, a loud thud echoing in the bare space. Is that all you brought? He turned to face Mo, glancing down at his bag and back up to her. Not way up, because the woman was small. Couldn't be more than 5 feet tops. His 6 was absolutely towered over her. He feared getting too close to the woman. He didn't want to intimidate her with his size or make her feel uncomfortable. August was uncomfortable enough for the both of them right now.
No, he shook his head. I have a few boxes in my car downstairs, and a pod coming tomorrow with my bed and a few other things.
She beamed. Great. You can sleep on the couch tonight if you'd like. It's super comfy, I promise. He could also sleep in hell, which he imagined would be exactly like the clutter-covered couch.
Thanks. I'll be fine in here.
Not wanting her to insist, because she seemed like the kind of person who would when it came to creature comforts, he lied.
I have a sleeping bag out in my car, and I've camped on much worse surfaces than a carpet-covered floor.
He had no such thing in his car, but he'd rather use his duffel as a pillow and whatever clothes he had as a blanket than sleep out in that living room. He was grateful for the place to stay, but he was paying his share. They'd have to talk about cleanliness if they were going to get through the next 6 months. All right. She tilted her head, eyes narrowing, as if she didn't quite believe him. If you're sure?
I am,
he said with a quick nod. She shrugged. Okay, then. Why don't I help you grab the things from your car? I'll help you unpack, and we can chat, get to know each other. He supposed that was a logical idea. Although he was beat from driving 6.5 hours, he should get to know the person he'd be living with for the next 6 months. At the same time, a get-to-know-you session with his perky, untidy new roommate, who was not a guy, but a very attractive woman he found as engaging as he did exasperating, sounded exhausting. Still, he should try to be polite. After all, the woman had opened up her home to him, even if he was paying his share of the rent. What in the hell had possessed Gran to think they would be suitable roommates? She was his polar opposite, the extrovert to his introvert, the Oscar to his Felix. You know, if Oscar was a smoking hot bombshell, and the odd couple had been filled with awkward sexual tension.
That's okay.
He tried to get his mouth to curve into a pleasant smile, but he feared all he could achieve after tonight's surprises was an awkward grimace.
It's not much stuff. I can grab it.
Oh, I don't mind. I'm a lot stronger than... The doorbell interrupted whatever she was saying. Mo's face lit up with excitement, and August had to suck in a sharp breath at the beautiful way her eyes shone. Pizza's here, she exclaimed, running out of the room and calling over her shoulder. You grab your stuff and I'll get the food. We can get to know each other over dinner. Perfect. Just perfect. A messy apartment, a perky roommate, and pineapple pizza. His very own personal hell. Chapter 3. Mo stared into her cereal bowl, watching as the milk turned red from the dye in the flakes. Last night's dinner hadn't been the fun get-to-know-you gab fest she'd imagined. August had uttered less than 2 dozen words. She knew, because she'd counted. The guy had been polite, if a little stiff, and gave short, succinct answers about his drive up and his previous work at a flower farm down south. But getting that man to open up was like tearing down a brick wall with a twig. Pointless. He'd probably just been tired. That was all. The guy had driven all day to get here. She should have cut him some slack and saved the roomy bonding time for after he'd gotten a good night's rest.
What is that?
Mo glanced out from her breakfast at August's question. Geez, for a big man, he sure moved quietly. She hadn't even heard him leave his room. How had he snuck up on her in the kitchen? Cereal? She held the bowl up in the air. He peered down at her upheld food, a grimace turning down his full lips. She had to give it to the guy. He made Grumpy sexy. I thought she shouldn't be entertaining, but it was hard to deny the truth.
Why is the milk red?
It's Fruity Pebbles. I think whatever coloring they put in the cereal bleeds into the milk, and the red color takes over all the others.
Isn't that a kid's cereal?
Could food be age-restrictive? She knew babies had some things they couldn't eat, thanks to her time with Prue's twins, but why couldn't an adult enjoy a nice, sugary childhood favorite if she wanted to? Mo dipped her spoon into the bowl and lifted a bite into the air, winking at August. For kids, and kids at heart. She slipped the spoon into her mouth, moaning as the fruity, sweet flakes hit her tongue. August grunted, although it sounded suspiciously like a growl, and she wasn't sure, but she could have sworn she saw his eyes flare with heat? Weird. Maybe he wanted a bowl. Who didn't love a good sugar rush in the morning? Want some? She started to rise from the table. I have plenty.
No, thanks.
At his emphatic denial, Mo sat back down. August made his way to the small pantry, where he'd unpacked a box of stuff he'd brought in from his car last night. She watched as he pulled out a round tub of, ew, oatmeal? She didn't think anyone actually ate oatmeal outside of Instagram influencers pushing overnight oats. Wow, that sure is a fun breakfast you got there. Without turning, August set about grabbing a small pot and filling it with water for the oats. He tossed out over his shoulder,
at least mine won't rot my teeth.
Oh yeah, her new roomie was just a great big ball of fun suckage. Yay. So, how's the new roommate? Mo glanced up from the photographer contract she'd been going over for one of their clients. She smiled at Lily, her business partner, friend, and up until recently, her roommate. But now, Lily was living with her fiancé, and Mo had a new roommate. A sexy, grumpy roommate. He's a little on the cranky side, she answered. But that might have been because he got in right around dinner time. Can't blame a guy for being hangry. Not that he'd eaten any of the food she'd offered him. No, August had physically recoiled the moment she opened the box of delicious pineapple pizza. Pineapple on pizza was a common divider in society, but who turned down free pizza? He could have plucked the pineapple off. Instead, August had grabbed a canister of powder stuff from his bag and a weird mixer bottle thing and made some protein shake that looked as gross as it smelled. And this morning's breakfast? She still couldn't believe the guy had eaten the entire bowl of goopy oatmeal. Wait, your new roommate is a guy? Prue, her other business partner, friend, and former roommate asked. She nodded. Yep, he's Agatha's grandson. Prue and Lily exchanged a worried look. Oh, great. She knew that one. The classic, Mo doesn't know what she's getting into, look. Well, they were wrong. She knew more than people assumed. They took one look at her tiny stature, bubbly personality, hippie clothing, and vibrantly streaked hair, currently pink because their upcoming wedding had a pink and yellow color scheme, and labeled her a manic pixie dream girl. Ridiculous. That wasn't even a real thing. Just a stupid trope some dude in Hollywood made up to excuse his whiny male character's bad behavior. First of all, she couldn't help it that she barely topped 5 feet. Blame that on genetics and her inability to wear platform shoes without falling and breaking an ankle. What was wrong with being happy and positive all the time? Maybe if more people tried it, the world wouldn't be such a crap fest. Besides, she liked her clothes. They were comfy and fun. Changing her hair color every few weeks gave her a sense of control. Life was often chaotic, and unexpected obstacles got thrown in your path. Fun hair was her way of maintaining her sanity. And it was better than trying to cut her own bangs every time something stressed her out.
She placed her hands on her desk, staring at her friends.
You guys, it's fine.
Prue and Lily didn't appear convinced.
Mo sighed, rising from her desk and coming over to sit in one of the plush chairs facing Lily's desk. Since she was the one who had the most face time with the clients, she had the big fancy desk, while Mo and Prue had smaller desks in the corner of the large, one-roomed office of their wedding planning business, Mile High Happiness. Prue left her desk as well and came to join Mo and Lily, taking the other comfy chair next to Mo.
Okay, she made a come-on motion with her hand. Lay it on me.
Prue glanced at Lily, and the two silently communicated, a skill they all possessed with each other. Being friends for over a decade had benefits like that. But right now, it was really annoying. She wished they would just spit out their concerns so she could alleviate them and they could get on with their workday.
Oh, for the love of... She leaned forward in her chair, blocking her friend's view of each other. Just say whatever it is you want to say.
Prue tilted her head around Mo, arching her brow at Lily, who nodded, pushing her glasses up her nose when they slipped down. Trying to hide her amusement at her friend's loving but unnecessary worry over her, Mo sat back in her seat and waited. Lily straightened in her seat, her gaze focused directly on Mo.
Moira?
Uh-oh. Whenever Lily used her full name, she knew she was about to get a stern lecture. Though she was only 2 years younger than her friend's 30, Lily and Prue tended to treat her like a kid sister at times. It might have been helpful when she was the 16-year-old freshman to their 18 in college, but now it was simply annoying. She was smart enough to skip 2 grades in high school. She could handle her own life, thank you very much.
Oh, brother, here we go.
She slumped back in her seat. Lily scowled.
We are merely worried about you.
They didn't need to be. No one needed to be. She could take care of herself. Plus, if anyone messed with her, all she had to do was call her brothers, and the 4 Rossi men, who she liked to claim stole all her height, would defend their little sister in a heartbeat.
You're living with a guy, Mo, a guy who's probably bigger than you, a guy you don't know at all, Prue said, hands twisting together in her lap.
Reaching across the armrest, Mo grabbed Prue's hands and squeezed.
Sweetie, I know you're a mom now, but you're not my mom.
I wasn't...
Yes, she interrupted her friend before she could make excuses. I am living with a guy who is bigger than me, but let's be honest, most people over the age of 18 are.
Most people under the age of 18 are too, Lily stated.
Mo ignored Lily's tease, scratching her cheek with her middle finger in her friend's direction.
Very mature, Mo.
Hey, Lily had started it. Besides, they lived to annoy each other. It was their love language, something she missed dreadfully since her friend had moved out. Now she had no one to annoy on the reg.
And, she continued to Prue, he's Mrs. Porter's grandson. If Agatha trusts him, then so do I. Besides, I have a lock on my door and Nutbasher under my bed.
And she'd never hesitate to use either. At the mention of the baseball bat her older brother had given her when she moved into the college dorms, with explicit instruction to use it on any guy who didn't take no for an answer, Lily and Prue exchanged another worried glance.
You guys, seriously, it's fine, she assured her friends. August seems like a stand-up guy.
A bit of a grump, possibly a neat freak who had terrible taste in pizza, but okay as far as she could tell. He also had reservations about rooming with a member of the opposite sex, so she took that as a good sign. If he wasn't a good guy, he would have gotten all pervy the moment he saw her and tried to make a pass, and she would have grabbed Nutbasher and kicked his ass to the curb. Moira Rossi did not suffer assholes or creeps. Her friends still appeared unsure, so she brought out the best argument she had.
You both trust Agatha, right?
They got the tense lines on their faces to relax. They all loved Mrs. Porter. The woman was sweet, kind, and a fantastic florist, a pseudo-grandmother to them all. but Mo most of all. Lily had a handsome fiancé. Prue had a hero husband.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?